This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy. Joining me, as always, in the High and Mighty studios is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout-out. Yeah, the old sneeze right in your eyes. Also joining me in the High and Mighty studio for the first time is comedian, writer, author. And finally ending my parade of white straight males as guests, we have a white woman, people. Yeah. Laura Wilcox is in the house.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, please. Thank you for coming.
My pleasure.
It's a true honor to have you.
It's been a pleasure.
Sit on the couches. Yeah. The same couch as such luminaries as Betsy Sidaro or Don Finelli.
Oh, I like both those people a lot.
Yeah.
Equally, I'd say.
Same exact amount.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on High and Mighty. We're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, weddings.
Weddings.
Yeah, something that I hopefully will never do again.
Yep.
But
that's the goal, just to have one big,
one good
real
one.
Good one.
Yeah, one
big good one.
Before we do that, though, we're going to read some negative reviews of my podcast. So this is how it works, guys. If you rate me 5 stars on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever it's called, and roast me in the comments, I will read the comments on the, so you get to make fun of me. You get your handle read out loud, and I get 5 stars. Everybody wins.
Wow.
Also, it teaches me what I need to change about myself, yeah. And I do nothing
I
about it.
I guess I'm the only one who doesn't really get anything out of this, but I'm still happy to
maybe
be here.
Maybe it's a dark look into me. You'll get a little bit of like my dynamic with the listeners.
Okay, great. I like that.
And maybe it helps. I'm trying to figure out how it would help the guest. Because if it's someone who doesn't actually know me personally, like this situation. So maybe if they don't know me, this kind of sets up a dynamic where it's like, this guy's a shithead. It's fine. Like, Everyone makes fun of him.
But I know
this
you.
This podcast is going to be
easy.
I know
you're a shithead.
Yeah, you've done that for years.
Yeah.
So this first review is called I Listen for I Must Repent, and it's by Connor C. Golden. Joan Goomba, known for his comedy Bang Bang appearances in which he uses a different name so he can say he's a character and be openly racist, has a voice as grating as his personality. The thing about it is I am like the albino guy from the Da Vinci Code, and listening to this podcast once a week is more punishment for my sins than any number of self-inflicted lashings could be. You're referring to the member of the Opus Dei. What makes you think the guy from the Da Vinci Code is albino, you may ask? You see, my first reference for the Da Vinci Code is the movie, and you're a fool to think that anyone listening to this podcast reads books. Okay. Thank you, Connor Golden.
I just immediately think of Powder when I think of, you know, cinematic albinos.
Cinematic albinos, the big ones are Powder.
Yeah.
End of Days, which I believe is actually Victor Varnado in that, the comedian.
I don't think
from.
I've seen that.
And then
this one,
the guy
which
in Opus
Dei. No,
I'm trying to think.
Of.
There was one other albino, and I can't place it. But Powder is the big one.
Powder's the big. I mean,
and that's Sean Patrick Flattery, right?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay, it is.
But that sounds right. No way to look it up.
We had a sort of palish kid in our school, and we all called him Powder as soon as that movie came out.
Yeah, I'm sure that's happened. I bet that movie ruined every albino kid's life.
I bet, or maybe it, like one of those things where it's like maybe they have powers.
Yeah.
Like sort of like how martial arts movies in the 80s like fucked it up for Asian people where it's like, you know, martial arts. And it was like that's offensive. But maybe helps them.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, I'm not going to fuck with any Asian people. They might know martial
arts.
They're
like, I don't know. Do I?
Hey, look, it's racist that you think that. But if it protects me in this moment.
But maybe I do. Yeah.
Fuck, dude. Lauren Lapkus strikes again. Oh, that's weird. Small. Parks in L.A. I started listening to this podcast after listening to the first season of Raised by TV. I'm a huge Lauren Lapkus fan. Okay.
Wow, it doesn't sound like it.
And was impressed that she was able to create such a vividly obnoxious character as John Gabrus, an imbecilic, offensive trash heap whose moronic opinions no real human could possibly hold. And yet, Lauren is able to make this character come to life because that is the kind of talented improviser and creator she is. I'm glad I found High and Mighty because I didn't realize she had been developing this character for years, and now I've spent countless more hours laughing at the expense of John Gabrus. If there were Emmys for podcasts, Lauren would certainly win one for her voice work here. Wow. Wow.
Wow. Maybe you are just a figment of Lauren Lapkus's imagination.
I'm her Tyler Durden.
Yeah, that's it.
What a sad story is that I'm a figment of someone else's imagination and I don't know.
Yeah,
and
you have no idea.
Life. I'm like busting my ass, like going to the gym and taking these stupid meetings. And yeah, I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? I'm a figment of imagination. Why am I hustling? Why do I have three podcasts? Yeah, why don't I relax?
You live in Lauren's brain and she's doing great. Yeah, you can just relax.
Let me get a piece of that.
Yeah.
That's actually a pretty high compliment if you think Lauren Lapkus is puppeting all my ideas. I'll take that as a high praise. Okay, last one, and then we'll talk to you. Damn it.
Sorry.
This one's by Crimmins S., if only. Also, something I should start doing on this podcast is just reading these ahead of time so I have an idea if they're good or terrible.
Or really boring.
Yeah.
That last is so far so good.
So far so good.
Really on board.
Sorry, Crimmins. I don't mean to front porch your review here too much, but if only I had a time machine so I go back in time and somehow replace the Taco Bell sour cream gun, you know, the one from that story that Junk Labyrinth repeatedly brags about from his high school gorging days, with a real gun so that when the inevitable gross urge overcame him and he decided to directly shoot that C-grade cream directly into his gullet, he would actually end his sweaty life and save us from having to hear him monologue about his days at VH1. In all seriousness, though, Gabrus is one. Oh, okay, it gets to be a compliment. Fuck it. Nice try, asshole. Not reading any compliments.
Not reading anything nice, ass.
My ego is unassailable. I'm so confident in my disgusting place that no one can take this away from me. All right, let's get down to the fucking Wilcox. Let's get down to business here.
We
want to talk weddings. Yeah, one of the main reasons is because I know you wrote this book a bit ago, but I recently saw you talking about it. And I was like, fuck, I want to chat about weddings.
Yeah. And the book is still very much for sale. And
will be for a while.
For a long time. And it's an really evergreen topic. So you can encourage your kids to listen to this podcast someday and go buy the book. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Skip the podcast. Yeah. Just recommend the book to the kids.
No. You have to start here.
Trust me, listen to 155 episodes of this podcast. When you get to the one right before John kills himself is with Wilcox.
Right before that one. We're all waiting for that one.
The next one. I'm recording another one right after this.
Okay, good. Please wait. Goodbye, please podcast. Wait till I leave. Okay. You're going to ruin my weekend.
The book is called I Am Bride.
Yes, it's called I Am Bride, How to Take the We Out of Wedding and Other Useful Advice.
So it's satirical.
It's a satirical book. It is...
It's for enjoyment.
It's for enjoyment comedy. It's really written for the bride or groom or bridesmaid or whatever, someone planning a wedding or involved in the planning of the wedding or someone who's been to too many weddings to sort of laugh at the ridiculousness that is weddings and remember that it's just a fucking wedding and to have a sense of humor about it.
That makes total sense.
I started writing it when I was planning my own wedding.
And I feel like I've previously had Jamie Lee on here, also a very funny woman who wrote a book about weddings. And she's like, it just when I started planning my own. Because it is one of those things where if you are a comedy person, you're like, I have to write a show or a movie about planning a wedding. Because
it is fucking nuts.
That is a reason why so many movies feature weddings.
Yeah.
Because they're nuts. And they're also a gathering of so many weirdos.
Yes. And though I was just amazed at the wedding industry is nuts. So like this book is, it's a fake wedding guidebook. Like it's a step-by-step guide to planning your wedding. It's written in the voice of this fictional insane wedding planner who basically, if like the wedding industrial complex was a person, this woman would be her.
This is what it is.
Yeah, she's just, her philosophy is like a wedding is the most important day in a woman's life. She should, you know, quit her job and like get rid of all her friends who don't serve her, and like she is like a little dictator and her wedding is her totalitarian state. That's really the philosophy.
The Bridezilla thing comes from a place of reality.
Yes. And it's very much encouraging Bridezilla dumb, if that's a word.
Bridezilla dumb.
Bridezilla dumb. Which like, yeah, I mean, I'd been to a bunch of weddings before I got engaged. I love weddings. I love going to weddings.
I will say
a party.
One of the best things you can do is, I'm literally interrupting you as you're like, I'm talking about my, I'm like, shut up, hold on. Here's about your wedding. One of the best things you could do for yourself is get married in your late 20s.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how old you and Don are, but like getting married a little later after going to about 20 weddings was the smart. And also, you don't have the right taste when you're 24.
No.
I can't believe, I'm so glad I didn't plan on winning.
You shouldn't be making any long-term irreversible decisions at 24, I think. I think getting married at 24 is a wacky idea.
Well, it's wild because you can just still date someone.
Yeah, you just could not be married to them. You could live together. You could build a life together.
You can have a dog, and living together is a bigger commitment than any marriage.
You could have a kid if you want. Go for it.
Yeah, totally.
Do that. Bring a person into this world and then decide if you want to get married. That's what I think.
Wow.
I didn't do any of this.
No, you did get married.
Yeah, I got married.
But not early.
No, I was like 20. I was 28 or 29 when I got married.
And so you had been to a few before yours.
Yeah, I'd been to like a billion before. Not to brag, but like I've been to like a billion.
I have so many friends and they find love so easily.
They find love so easily. Mostly also Don, my husband, who Don Finelli's been on this podcast.
Yeah, he was on the sandwiches episode.
Yeah, that sounds
he's
right.
He's the only one with a thicker accent than me.
Yeah. Oh, wait, the fact that he talked about, I have a story about a follow-up to the sandwiches. Basically, his mom, Donna, Don's mom's name is Donna.
You got to be kidding me. He's practically Don Jr.
His dad's name is Don. His parents are Don and Donna Finelli.
And he's Don?
Yeah.
That's it's a family crazy.
Name. Yeah. Don is a family name. The Donna part just is lucky.
That's wild.
That just worked out that way.
That's garbage.
Yeah. So the fact that Don talked about his favorite sandwich from Dante's in River Edge, New Jersey, his mom kept insisting you should go. I told Jimmy down at Dante's that you talked about him on a podcast. You got to go. When we were home for Christmas, she was like, you got to go down there. He said he'd give you a free sandwich. You got to go get your free sandwich for talking about it on a podcast. And Don was like, I'm not going to go in there and be like, hey, I'm here for my free sandwich for talking about it on a podcast.
Solid Don impression.
He's like, I'm not going to go. His mom brought it up every day. And then yesterday or a couple days ago, she texted Don to be like, I went into Dante's. I told him that I told you to come get your free sandwich. And then he was mad that you didn't come get your free sandwich. Don was like, well, thanks for getting the sandwich guy mad at me now. So that's the follow up. Those are the repercussions of Don talking about sandwiches.
If Donna Finelli is anything like Joanne Valentino - Gabris, my Italian mother.
I bet she is.
Anything for free, anything she can get on the, as my grandpa, her dad, Jimmy V, used to say, it's on the arm.
Yeah.
They give it to you on the arm there. It's like, I know a guy there, he gives you the extra ham on the arm. It's like, they're so excited to get free shit.
Yeah.
It's like that weird old mom. And I have a lot of friends that are like that in the sort of Ginzo world who are like happy that they're like, nah, I drive 5 towns over because my friend's there and he throws extra fries in the basket.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
It's like, well, it's like about this weird like hooking each other up culture that people love.
This is my mother-in-law. Her favorite story is about the time she got Don a like great deal on his like first Hyundai, like a car that like he and his dad went and bought a car, came home and it was some Honda that had been recalled and they sold it to them like a couple of putzes. And she was like, she took the car back, made them take the car back and then give them another car for like a steep discount and all these like add-ons for free. And it is just like,
oh yeah. One of my mom's legendary stories is getting us upgraded to a suite in Las Vegas for my grandfather's like 60th or 70th birthday or something like that. Like, it's like, she talks about it still.
Yeah.
And it's this, mother-in-law's is a natural transition back to weddings.
Because she did haggle for us for our wedding, like our wedding venue. She was like, what can you do? She didn't do like, well, she wasn't paying for this part, but she just did the negotiating, like almost for my mom who was paying for it. And she was like, what can you do for us? Ask them, what can they do for you? Like that
so
was,
awesome.
she was like going gung ho to just make sure we got like, see if they'll throw in like a free like crudité setup or something like that.
My mom was kind of annoying about my wedding.
How come?
Because
how so?
Well, she's annoying about everything.
Yeah,
part of it is she doesn't understand me or Tiffany at all as people. Like, to her, the fact that we moved to Brooklyn was insane.
Oh, yeah.
And it's even crazier that we live in LA. It's like absolutely nuts.
Your mother might be Don's mother.
I feel like the tri-state Jewish and Italian mothers have like some weird bond.
Yeah, they're all the same.
Yeah, they all stand over a cauldron of guilt power that they're able to like summon at any moment. Yeah, my mom's a widow as well, so she's like literally like an Italian widow who's like, Jonathan, you never come by, you know, and it's like everything is just like, oh, stop,
I'm
hit
sorry,
me right in the
mommy.
Heart, I'm sorry, but I live so far away. You don't visit me either.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, they don't get on planes.
No, my mom can't fly more than 3 hours, luckily enough for her, so she gets to go to the Bahamas, Bermuda, everywhere, but she can't come out to Los Angeles.
Don's mom came once, the flight went very smoothly, and when we picked up the phone when she called. When she landed, she was losing her mind. And she took two Xanax. Ziz? Yeah.
I think Xanax.
Xanax I? Yeah.
Xanax I.
Xanax I, I think it is. But yeah.
What my mom was, she has a lot of friends, mm-hmm. as one is wont to do, and she wanted them all at the wedding.
Oh,
her
yeah.
friends.
Yeah.
And Tiffany, this is the big juxtaposition in my life, and I don't know if, because you're I know you as a sweet person, but Tiffany is also sweet as far as everyone knows too. But she's one of the toughest human beings alive. And she just straight up said to my mom, Joanne, I'm not having anyone at my fucking wedding that I've never met. And my mom was like, well, but they're going to give good gifts. And Tiff's like, so are our friends. I don't want people there that I don't know.
But I, yeah, exactly.
Because I think weddings.
We had a lot of people I didn't know at my wedding.
Right, because they're like distant relatives.
Yeah, it's
something.
Like distant. Don's parents wanted to invite the sisters of his estranged grandfather.
That's that Italian shit.
Yes,
just
you
like,
have to invite
every
them.
Every cousin has
She's
to.
She's like, we're going to invite them. I promise you they won't come, but we have to invite them.
That's
they the won't come, but we have to. And they didn't come, but we had to.
Yeah, and yep. It's like, who to give a plus one? And
yeah.
My mom was such a terror about it.
Yeah.
I think weddings also have culturally changed a little bit.
Maybe.
When you get married in your 30s or
yeah.
late 20s,
yeah.
it's not... You don't need your parents' friends to fill out a wedding.
Right. No. I've,
when you're 24, you have your college friends or your work
yeah.
friends or high school friends, whatever.
Maybe that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. But once you're like in your, like we got married at 28 as well
yeah.
or something like that. Oh, I should know this math because I'm 36 now. We got yeah. married at 29.
Yeah.
It should be like fucking.
All your friends.
Our friends.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I get that I have to invite my cousins who I don't see
yeah.
that often.
Right.
But we did like. First cousins with and you have to make those cutoffs so that it's not like one weird cousin sneaks
right,
in. So we
right.
had like
first
cousins only, plus
it.
Ones only if you've been dating the person for X amount of time and we know them. Like
yeah.
we had all these rules and people got. Tiff
Did you
has,
have kids at your wedding?
No kids.
We didn't have kids either. And my mom's like pretty chill. And that was the one thing she was like adamant about. I guess because she went to one wedding where a baby cried during the ceremony and she was like, I don't want to hear a baby. I don't want a baby crying during your ceremony, which I was like, well, me neither. But I don't know. I guess.
Yeah.
Whatever. Like, we'll have microphones.
Yeah.
Like,
find a sitter is
yeah.
like, yeah.
But
I've been to some weddings where there was like a daycare center. Like, or
oh,
like,
wow. That was
yeah,
a good idea.
Yeah. It's a really good. Like a one room where it's like, yeah, we have a lady who'll watch your kids.
Yeah.
There's like five kids in there. But you don't want kids at our wedding. We wanted a party. That was like
yeah.
the big thing is we wanted to be a party. So we didn't have like served food or anything. Like
yeah.
we did like buffet style.
Yeah.
Cause we just wanted it to be a bash.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We, I don't know. It just felt, I guess I didn't really care if people brought kids, but I'm also like, I guess I would not want to bring a kid to a wedding and I'd want to just like go get drunk and eat food.
Right.
With
it's
my
like sort of like an adult party. The kind of thing
yeah.
about a wedding is that it's a bunch of grownups being silly.
Yeah.
Like even though it's not like a thing we would ever do at our wedding because Tiff runs a strict shift or like most people would do. But like it's where you put on fucking free sunglasses that someone
yes.
handed you and fucking air guitar
yes.
to twist and shout or some
you
shit.
You do shots of free whiskey. Like people were doing like shots of whiskey. I mean, yeah, it was
yeah.
just it was
it's just disgusting.
Fun.
It's supposed to be a grown up bash. It's
yes.
Yeah. And so kids fucked that up and weird.
Yeah.
And
some people were pissed, though. They were like mad about it that we weren't letting them bring their kids. And I was like. Well, you don't have to comment. I'm
one of
sorry.
Like someone on Tiff's family, like her
it
second
does.
Cousin, we didn't invite their kid, but we weren't inviting anyone that is that relation,
right.
whatever that is, second cousin, however. But we invited her mom's cousin because we were kind of close, and she was mad that her son wasn't invited. And Tiffany was like, "He's never been to my
Too
apartment.
Bad.
I've
yeah.
seen him once in the last 25 years.
Sorry,
and he's 30. It's not like he's like a fuck.
Oh
you know,
yeah,
like, he's an adult. You're a."
He doesn't want to come.
We don't speak to that woman anymore. She doesn't talk to us anymore. And it was like one of Tiff's like close, like it was like her aunt, more or less.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it's just like she was willing to throw our friendship away over the way. And people are definitely able to do that.
It's a line in the sand you kind of have to draw too with like who's in and who's out.
Right.
And also with picking like wedding parties is like a weird line in the sand you kind of have to draw.
Oh, yeah. I know. And I always feel for the people who have like 14 bridesmaids or groomsmen. And it's like, I couldn't
I'm
like,
do it.
Yeah.
yeah.
You got to pick the cutoff.
Yeah. You're like, oof.
You got to pick the cutoff. Yeah. It's hard, but like.
Yeah.
And
I had five and it was, Don had more than I did. But I was like, whatever.
That's fine.
I wasn't going to just.
Fill
tack
it out.
On a couple yeah. extra people because then once you open the door to like, well, maybe I'll ask these couple friends, then Like if you go to like the second tier close friends, then that's like 20
people
I could pick from.
That opens it up too much. Yeah. That's kind of what happened with my improv team at the time, the law firm.
Yeah.
I was like really close with five of them.
Yeah.
Like they knew Tiffany and we hung out all the time.
Right.
There was a couple more people who, and I was like, can't invite five of eight.
Yeah.
We have to, and it's not like they're a groom, they're not groomsmen or anything like that, but it's like, if we're invited, we can't leave out that small of people. Like
and then you have to give them plus ones if they're like, it adds up.
Know? And one drawback to being 28 when you're married, getting married, is that other
Everyone
people already
else is,
are.
Yeah.
And, or they have plus ones.
Right. So so double the number. Yeah. Like, take all the people you'd want at your wedding, then double it.
Right.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's insane. And then it's so expensive.
I had five groomsmen, I think, and Tiff had, or five
I
or
had
six.
I had five.
Yeah.
It was great.
It was perfect.
Yeah, it was the perfect number. It was like my sister, Don's sister, Lauren Lapkus, and then my like best friend, and then my like college, one of my closest friends from college who I lived with in New York for a long time. It just worked out. It was like someone from each sort of like faction of my life.
Yeah,
I checked every box. It was great.
Yeah, I pretty much had my two best friends. I mean, my two brothers, Tiff's two brothers, Justin Tyler, and my best friend, my childhood best friend, Sanford. And then mine and Tiffany's best guy friend, she had a matron of honor.
Mm-hmm.
And then her husband was our best friend, married
Aww.
Us. So it was a way to sneak
Perfect.
In one more friend.
Yeah, we got Michael Caine, our improv friend, to marry us.
MCJ Caine?
MCJ Caine. And now he's like, he's officiating weddings left and right now.
It's
he's
the move.
He's great at it. Yeah.
We're precedent setters.
Yeah.
That was a big thing.
We're groundbreakers. I mean, that's just a thing.
I've officiated three weddings.
Ooh.
Yeah. I did my brother's after he saw me have officiated. He's like, if you're not religious, it's like the fucking move. It's like someone who knows both of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the fact that you got to be married by Caine and you guys are all friends is like such a wonderful thing to always have that.
Yeah. And he's funny and a good public speaker and knows us.
Right.
And
he's trying. He's a professional speaker out louder.
And he's married. He's not going to like dick around and like.
Right. He knows how to do it.
Yeah. He's like, no, this is, I respect that. He's an adult. He's like, he respects that this is, we do take this seriously, but we wanted it to also be funny. And it was like, it was great. It was
awesome.
It was like my favorite part of the wedding was our ceremony, which I didn't expect.
Yeah. Us too. Our big thing was we went to a wedding one time where they served booze before the ceremony, a Jewish wedding. And we were like, this is the smartest idea ever.
Yeah.
There was like a mini cocktail hour and then you can walk in with a drink to sit down at the ceremony.
Yeah.
And we're like, we have to do that. And so then it was such a great idea. We made like a little, spiked iced tea lemonade, Arnold Palmer's.
Yeah.
Called them the Arthur.
Aww.
And you can get, and then we're serving some beers and stuff and everyone was having drinks. So it was a real loose environment. It was really fun. But a couple came up to us. We're like, this is such a great idea. You did this. And we were like, it was our friends, Elise, and Elise's husband's name, who's escaped me right now. And we were like, we got this idea from your wedding. You guys, they're like, we served booze before the ceremony. We're like, yeah, you did.
Yeah.
And then she was like, oh, that's because our rabbi was running an hour late. We didn't serve booze before the ceremony. We just needed to stall you guys because our rabbi had the time wrong. And so we thought it was like,
you were like, they're geniuses.
We took the train back home from their wedding and we were just like, that's the move. It's
the
most brilliant idea. Yeah. Everyone rolls in excited. And we were talking them up like, they're geniuses. They were like, no,
they're
it was
like,
an
no.
accident.
We had a bad rabbi.
Yeah. Well, when they first said we didn't have that, me and Tiff were like, were we the only ones that drank?
Like,
did we just go to the bar and steal shit? But that was like the one thing we knew we wanted to do to keep that overall party thing going.
Did you guys like split the wedding planning equally, or was it more did she want to, like, was she excited to plan a wedding? Like, was she into it?
She was not excited. She's weird because she's not excited to plan. She knows exactly what she wants in every single situation,
right?
But she doesn't want to do that,
right?
But she can't let anyone else do it because
it won't come out right.
Yeah.
My problem with it was I didn't know what I wanted at all. I wasn't somebody like fantasized about my wedding. I knew I wanted one. I did want to, like, I also think both my family and Don's traditional Italian family, if we had said we wanted to do something like super off the beaten path,
like, because Tiff originally wanted to get married in a cemetery. So that's the kind of shit that you're talking about,
Oh.
Like, you could,
We didn't do it in a church, and already that was sort of like Don's parents had to kind of bite their tongue about that, and they didn't.
My mom
put,
had to.
Yeah,
it was hard for her.
Yeah,
and then when my brother didn't get married in a church, yeah. and I did the ceremony, she's like, "Is someone going to get married in our church?"
Yeah,
because she's like every Sunday.
You're like, nope,
not. You, hey, you put religion too hard on us as kids. Yeah. Now we fucking hate it.
Because Don grew up Catholic too, so if we had done that, and I'm not Catholic, and I'm sorry if I've been to your Catholic mass wedding, but they're the worst. They're awful. They're so long and they're so deeply impersonal.
I feel
and it's
so
just,
bad for Catholic people.
Oh my
who've never
God.
Been to a Jewish wedding.
They're awful. Like Catholic wedding masses are.
They sneak a whole fucking mass on you.
They're awful.
You're saying Catholic wedding mass as yeah. if that's like an option.
It's just
a Catholic wedding features
a full mass,
which is such fucking garbage.
Yeah, and then
that's such fucking proselytizing bullshit.
Yeah. yeah, and then like the priest who doesn't know anything about them or marriage
right.
at all.
He's never been married. He's not legally allowed to do it.
Will preach, and I've been to one where like. The priest went on about the groom and was like talking about what an upstanding young man he was. And then it gets to the bride and he's like, and she's so beautiful and she loves ice cream.
Oh,
can you imagine like at your wedding ceremony, that's all that's said
Tinder
about
profiles.
You.
Yeah.
And then like mentioning having children was dropped like 100 times. This girl was like 25 when she was getting married too.
Fuck that.
I went to another one of some friends that was like a Catholic mass that, I don't think they wanted to do it. They were just doing it for the bride's mother. And it was like a new priest from like Nigeria had just come in because their priest like that she grew up having had like suddenly retired. And he was it was kind of
by
fun.
By the way, Catholic
actually.
Church suddenly retired has a connotation. Yeah.
But it was that one was kind of fun only because watching the bride and groom making faces at each other of
as a
like
Nigerian guy who doesn't know them at all.
He was saying the most sexist stuff. He was like, when she cooks for you, say thank you. And it's like, she doesn't cook. Like he doesn't know anything about them. He was just saying like the most sexist generic stuff. And they were just like, kind of looking at us like, yeah, sorry. It was kind of, we all went through it together yeah, of like, this is insane. Well, and it was kind of, it was honestly kind of fun. That was one I liked.
It's kind of fun. It's funny. And a lot of people have to do that. A lot of people don't want to get married in a church.
Yeah.
But have to.
Yeah.
And that so sucks as a sucks. Part of your wedding day.
Yeah.
If you really want it to be your day and you don't
yeah.
want to. And a low key thing that sucks about getting married in a church is the reception's not at the church.
No. And then everyone, or when there's the 2 hours in between.
That's
so,
just poor
so they
party
can take,
planning.
So they can take photos. That's why they do it. I don't want my husband to see me in my dress before I walk down the aisle. So we're going to do a 2 hour. I went to one for a high school friend who I don't really like that much. And it was a 2 hour freaking
blast.
Catholic mass on blast.
You are
she's
on
not.
Blast,
yeah, she's
Wanda.
Not. Yeah, she's not listening.
trust me, not many women are.
She's
listening.
Not listening. It was like 2 hour mass. That was the first Catholic mass I'd gone to. It was awful. You couldn't understand a word the priest was saying because like the microphone. So I don't know. Like he was like getting the groom's name wrong.
Oh.
Then there's a 2 hour block between, and the party was like an hour away, and they didn't provide shuttles. So you just have to somehow get there, and then you just get there and you're early and you're just like hanging out in a wedding venue that isn't ready for it. I was like, what do you think we're doing now? What did you think all your guests are going to be doing in this time?
That's
so you
what
can go
pisses
take
me
photos
off.
Somewhere,
that's
asshole.
What our attitude was, it's a party.
Yeah.
So you have to plan it like a party.
It's a party.
And we invited 200, you know, we invited 175 people or whatever.
Yeah.
Our times, it's important that her and I have a good time.
Yeah.
But if you're hosting something, it's more important that the other 175 people enjoy themselves.
Yes.
And it's infuriating when people do not, and I mean, nothing's more fun than talking about how fun a wedding was.
Yeah.
Except talking about how shitty
talking
a wedding
shit
was.
On a wedding. I mean, I'm sitting here doing it.
It's like, it's truly, it could easily be a podcast where you just have people come on and shit on wedding. It's just too much putting close, because if you're invited to a wedding, you're close friends to someone.
Yes, exactly.
But I've been to so many weddings that had such shitty portions of it, or like, the worst is like being a groomsman where you're the like you're not in the group of friends, but you're good enough friends with the groom.
Right. So you're
so
just kind of like hanging out.
Yeah. You're a groomsman, but you don't know anyone but the groom or a bridesmaid. You don't know anyone but the bride and her six shitty ass friends. And you're like, oh my God, these people are my fucking. And now I'm like, hey, come on, group shot. Let's hang out. We're all on a text thread together. All this shit that goes along with it, or like a bachelor or a bachelorette. Yeah. You're like, fuck
this. Oh my God. There's just so, I think the problem is I just didn't realize like this industry, like especially for women too, like everything is advertised towards the woman. You're supposed, and you feel like you need to do all these things. Like,
what are you doing for cake? What are you doing for this? What are you doing for first kiss?
What are your wedding colors? Yeah. What is this? What is that? It's like 1,000 little decisions you need to make. I didn't have an opinion on really any of them. So I had such decision fatigue from it all where I was like, I don't know, bridesmaids dresses. I don't know what color. I don't know. Like it, but I felt like I needed to pick one. In retrospect, I should have just said, wear a dress you like. I don't give a shit. If you're coordinated, I don't care. It's just, I mean, that's part of why I wanted to write this book was just I was getting so caught up in it. And writing this stuff helped me laugh at it and kind of take a step back and be like, this is all for one party. And also, like, I should be thinking about the fact that I'm marrying someone. Like, we should be focusing all of our attention on just, like, you're merging your lives together. We're merging our finances. What's that going to mean?
Like, it's such the sixth, seventh part of it is actually your partner.
Yeah. If you look at, like, wedding, all the, like, magazines, like, one thing that like spawned me writing this book was I used this like checklist from, it was a Real Simple magazine that was like for weddings. There's this checklist in the back that's like 9 months out. You should send your save the dates. You should do this and that 6 months out. And it was like literally just a checklist of what to do while planning your wedding. And I didn't know what to do. So I was like, great, I'm going to blindly follow this. Awesome. And Don was looking at it and was like, what? It doesn't mention like when I should get a tux. It doesn't mention me. It doesn't mention the groom anywhere. It's like I'm not even part of this.
Yeah, it's like that weird like 90s stand-up mentality or 80s stand-up mentality that's like still prevalent in like certain old stoic industries where it's like I don't know, the women pick the colors, we just show up
and get shit-faced. You know? It's like no.
try to get a hot on that night. That's all that matters.
I just want to fuck my wife.
It's crazy. That just reminded me. All that shit is insane that it's not directed towards men. Where was I going with this? It's insane that it's not directed towards men. Men have to be a huge part of it as well.
Yeah.
And if anyone's listening and needs wedding planning advice, and you're a guy and maybe your fiance is taking on, I'm being very heteronormative here, but your partner is taking on away a lot of responsibility, but you're not necessarily that. I'm not that decision maker in our family. Like Tiff decides what everything looks like. That's like her role. That's she cares more.
Yeah.
Like, and I think she cares more about food. Food decisions go to her. Right. Like, I think that's the rule.
That's
if you're going to be a big deal about it, you have to choose.
Then great. That's all. If you care more, then you make the decision. Fine.
Right.
But
you should offer to take certain projects that you A, care about or think you could pull off. Like for me, I said, I'll book the DJ and playlist and stuff, even though Tiff then gave us a do not playlist for Justin Purnell to play. And then, I did all the booze ordering because I ordered the booze and came up with the special cocktails for the day and stuff because that's perfect. Like more.
You're like, obviously that's what you would be in charge of. Yeah.
Right. But now even in the 8 years that have passed since I've been married or 7 years that's passed, Tiffany would be in charge of that as well. Like Tiffany, like she picked out the groomsmen's suits.
Aw.
Yeah. She was working.
She knows
on
fashion.
She does. Yeah. She was working on Mad Men at the time, and they did like a partnership with J. Crew.
Oh my God.
And J. Crew was like, well, since you did this big deal with us for the Mad Men suits, if you're an AMC employee or whatever, you get 20% off the suits. And Tiffany was like, call the groomsmen.
Yeah.
Tell them to meet us at the J. Crew in fucking Herald Square this time. We all went, all six of us. My brothers came in on the Long Island Railroad, and Tiffany's like, everyone get a suit.
Oh my God.
And we all
that's
got like
awesome.
Big gray three-piece suits.
They have
like,
nice suits.
Yeah, they have very nice suits. And it was the Mad Men line, so they were like a little bit vintage, tight cut, with like three-piece suits. The guys look great. The women look beautiful, of course.
Yeah.
Cowboy boots.
Ooh, I like a cowboy boot.
Yeah.
That's a nice touch.
Yeah. And do you realize, like, my wife will sit there, Tiffany will sit there and go, like, I'm not, like, that kind of girl. But then she's like, the girls will switch to cowboy boots after the ceremony. Yeah. You know, it's like, okay, you are that type of girl.
At
you're just
6:05, we will be changing our footwear until,
it's really fun when the wedding has a taste that isn't just wedding.
Yeah.
So, which, like, that's what was, like, important to us that it felt like our party, too.
I think it's, like, if it's fun for you to like, have a theme or, like, if this is fun. I think some people enjoy planning weddings.
Right,
I didn't. Like, I wanted a wedding, and I had a blast at my wedding, and I'm glad I did it, but the sense of relief when it was over, I was like, oh my God, I can't, I'm so happy that the planning is over. And then also, I highly recommend going right on a honeymoon, which, because it was a pain in the ass to plan the honeymoon while also planning the wedding. We were right. All we had to do was like, pick a hotel in Tulum, Mexico. And that was like overwhelming
enough.
That's
right, we went to Cancun.
Yeah, it was, but I remember like, I think it was like, as the ceremony ended, Don and I had like 5 minutes to ourselves to just kind of be like, oh my God, we just got married, and just have like a moment alone. And it was so nice to be alone with him because I'd just been around 1,000 people all day. And then I remembered in that moment, like, oh, tomorrow we're going to the beach for a week, yeah. Just you and I. And I was so, I'm so excited for that. Like,
it's so
possibly
crazy
more
to pull
for
off.
The rest of my wedding, just to go to my honeymoon. Yeah.
I mean, even as much as I love hosting parties now, I'm way more excited to go on vacation with my wife than I am to have a group of friends over.
Yes.
And no less 175 family and friends.
Yes.
Family is the
everyone you know is like,
and you
there.
Have to go walk around to all their tables and say hi. That shit sucks.
Yeah, I know.
Definitely.
I feel bad also because there's some friends who I didn't see till like the end of the night because I was dancing the whole time. Some people don't want to dance. They want to like hang out and drink and eat. And so there was like one close girlfriend I like didn't see to the end of the wedding just because.
I don't love destination weddings. Like those like small little. But I do like when like a wedding has like practically a whole hotel.
Yeah.
Like my brother-in-law's weddings were both sort of outside of their hometown. So everyone rented hotel rooms. So then it kind of turns it into a weekend long party.
Right. So everyone's like partying together.
Yeah. And it's like, we're all going back to the same place. Like, a big thing for our wedding was we had a lot of broke friends. So we wanted it to be local with service and from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So that you didn't have to like deal with that. Joke.
Ours too is like, ours was in the Hudson Valley, basically north of the city. So you could take a train home at the end of the night.
Yeah.
Or if you want to like, or stay the weekend up in this beautiful.
What
it's
town?
Like
I know the valley.
The Garrison, New York, right near Cold Spring.
You don't have to
and
tell
it was
me.
Spring. It was a very lovely. So we were like, if you want to make a weekend of it, that's what I would do. But I think some people just went straight back to the city.
Yeah.
But yeah, like everyone, we like did a little after party at the hotel, like in the shitty like hotel lobby. But it was great because everyone was staying there. So it was easy to just.
We did an after party. Party at the name of the bar escapes me because it closed, but it was on Court Street, like in our hometown in Brooklyn. Yeah, in Carroll Gardens.
Oh, I love that.
We Garrison. I went to school in Poughkeepsie, so I know that train, and I interned in New York City, so I know that train ride all too
real
well.
Yeah, it's
and
beautiful up there.
Tiff's from Croton, which is right over there. Yeah.
Yeah,
and we spent a weekend in Tivoli, in Red Hook.
Peekskill. Peekskill, and I went to, I think it's outside of Poughkeepsie. Actually, it was like Butternut Falls Inn or Butter.
That's
Cup?
In the Newport side.
Yes,
Buttermilk Falls.
Buttermilk Falls.
My best friend got married there.
Yeah, it was. We looked there, but we didn't want to do a tent wedding because Don's family would have complained, so we didn't go there. But it was beautiful, and I just went back there for like a weekend with my mom.
It's so awesome.
It was stunning.
That's really
love. I love that area.
I was a best
Hudson
man
Valley.
At Butter. I gave my best man speech at Buttermilk Falls. Crushed it so hard. Going to a non-comedy wedding and being like the fucking guy is or the gal like is such. Power.
Oh my God.
Everyone's like, holy shit, man, you were hysterical. I was like, I know.
Oh my God. I don't know what to tell you.
I know. I'm pretty funny for people when they're coming to expect a comedy show.
Yeah.
So imagine how I'm doing when you're just expecting a best man speech.
When you're expecting like a bad speech.
Yeah, when you're expecting a boring, and I go, they were like, at this wedding, my best friend, I'm trying to leave names out of it to save but it's like, who should go first, the maid of honor or the best man? And my buddy, the groom, was like, like it's like don't make her follow John.
You like drop the mic. You're like your turn, bitch.
Your turn, bitch. I bet you didn't say the F word 5 times in yours. But this is a through and through transparent brag. I went to a after party after my Tiff's cousin's wedding at Buttermilk Falls, and one of the waiters came over and went, "Were you a best man at a wedding
like
4 months ago?" I was like, "Yeah, I was." You're like, "That's." We talk about it. That's the best speech we've ever seen.
Oh, wow.
I was like, yeah.
You should start a side business of writing best man speeches.
I've now also written ceremonies.
There we go.
I can't even finish a fucking spec pilot. And I've got three wedding ceremonies and a couple of best man speeches.
You should get into this because the wedding industry is where all the money is.
Yeah, fuck
you
TV.
You can charge three times what you would charge to sell a pilot script probably because everything is like three times as much money. Like getting invitation, like wedding invitations.
Is twice as much as getting birthday invitations.
Which we did. We like lied and like tried to like cheat the system sometimes. Be like, these are just birthday invitations that say we're getting married.
Oh, that's...
Or just say like Don and Laura.
That's really smart.
Yeah, just because it's the same paper.
Our cake was a Fudgy the Whale that said happy birthday, John and Demi. No, we got pies. We did
Ooh,
pies.
I like that. I wanted to do it, but it was going to be a logistical nightmare. So
it was. A lot of stuff was a logistical nightmare. Yeah. Tiff came into the tent after the ceremony and was like, these are all wrong. And she went up to the caterer who was in charge of the setting the table. She goes, where are the burlap runners? This is just something that's burned in my head. The phrase burlap runners. She's like, where are the burlap runners? And the guy's like, I think we left them behind. She goes, send somebody to go get them.
Yeah.
It was like, we hired you because you were local. We're in Queens. Send someone to go get the burlap runners and set these fucking things up.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, I'll
that's
send someone.
That's the thing, because he probably was like, this bridezilla. But it's also like, no, I've been planning this. I spent so much time planning this. We're spending so much money.
We're spending a fortune.
Yeah. Like I was at the third wedding dress fitting I went to. First of all, they pricked their finger and got the seamstress pricked her finger and got a drop of blood on my white dress. And then it didn't fit right. And it was cutting into my back. So my back skin was hanging over and it looked disgusting. And this is the most expensive dress I've ever bought and hopefully will ever buy in my life. And it wasn't fitting right. And my dad had driven into the city from New Jersey to like pick it up. And it was all this. And it just wasn't ready. Like it was wrong. They had to fix it.
Fuck them.
And I just started weeping in my wedding dress, like the worst kind of cliche. Cause I was like, we're spending too much money for this to be not perfect. This dress needs to be perfect.
That's the problem, is that they've created an environment in which they are like, it's whatever you want, but it costs a fortune. Yeah. And then when you start to be like, hey, this
is
not
to fit me perfectly.
Yeah.
Then.
It's like, might as well. You tricked me. You are the one who's saying like, this is a valid business.
Right.
Is spending a fortune on a wedding dress.
Right.
Fine.
Right.
I'll play your game.
Yeah.
But then in response, I just want it to work.
Yeah.
Is that insane?
No, it just needs to fit. Like if I'm paying you to also tailor it to fit my body, which I am, I'm paying them extra to make it fit me perfectly.
Right.
Because you have to.
It should just fit.
It
me
should
perfect.
Fit. And it shouldn't be this whole thing. And then also like the day of my wedding, like we did pictures and stuff before everything started because I'm not going to be rude to my freaking guests.
My dude, I'm getting up for a fucking high five right now. We did
but
our first
popped.
Look.
Yes, we did a first look, and it was great because it was so nice to. I was so happy to see him and just like connect and like, because I've been sort of feeling stressed and like nervous, sort of, and so it was just nice. I don't know. It was fun.
It was great,
and it didn't inconvenience everybody who came to my wedding.
Well, the big thing was, you know what, inconvenience, and the best part of every wedding is cocktail hour.
Yes.
And why did the bride and groom have to miss it?
Yeah, I got to eat my own cocktail hour food, which was the best part.
Right.
Like,
it's the best part of every wedding.
Yeah,
is standing, getting those first couple of drinks and fucking eating whatever's passed around. Yeah.
But by like one of the buttons popped off, like the like shit was like my dress was like falling apart and I'd been wearing it for an hour and I was like,
oh,
I have dresses from Forever 21 that are like lasting longer, but anyway. It's a crock of shit.
Yeah, and then you start to feel like a bridezilla. Meanwhile, if you went to McDonald's and paid a dollar and got the wrong thing, you would go back up and go, this
Can
isn't
I
what
the
I
right
ordered
thing,
and
please?
They would be like,
yeah, of course.
That's completely how goods
you
and
paid
services
for it. Although at that point I didn't freak out because it was just like, what am I going to do? Like my mom, someone had a thread and needle. They like put the button back on. I was like, whatever. Like the photographer took pictures of it. I was kind of like, whatever. I mean, we're here. I don't give a shit anymore.
Where'd you guys do your first look?
Like right outside the venues, and it's kind of on a hill, so you could see the like Hudson River and the valley, the Hudson Valley. So it was a very pretty like backdrop.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was
great. That's fun. We did our stoop of our Brooklyn brownstone.
Aww,
yeah, I slept at my friend's house the night before.
Oh, so that
so that the morning we could do like a full, and all the groomsmen got ready at his apartment. I paid my friend $100 to come over and make Bloody Marys for us.
Perfect. Like,
and so the guys were all just putting on our suits, making Bloody Marys. Yeah. And then Tiffany comes down the fucking apartment stairs as like our big reveal.
I love that. Yeah. Though.
And then we got to fucking get our photos. Now, yeah. I don't want to take photos when there's a party happening.
Yeah. Missing my party.
No, fuck that. You're paying fucking so much money for it.
I know. Yeah. I know.
Did you guys have to go out of pocket? We were lucky that Tiff's mom and dad both helped. They were divorced. They both helped us to pay for it. But we pretty much went three ways. Like me and Tiff, her mom and her dad. And then my mom got us our honeymoon as like,
that's
what
nice.
She paid for. And the photo booth.
Yeah. You gotta have that.
Yeah, you gotta have a photo booth. I mean, that just pinpoints exactly that my wedding was in 2011.
Yeah. We skimped on the photo booth and did like a, my sister made a cute little backdrop and we just got those like Polaroid Instamag cameras. Cause I was like, whatever.
Yeah. Now
you've all been to 1,000 photo booths at this point. So just, I'm not going to spend a lot of money on this.
Phone works better than a photo booth thing either, but like now.
Right, also I'm like, or just take a picture with your phone.
Just take a picture with your phone, yeah.
Yeah, like the little Polaroid.
But we had like mustaches on sticks and all that fucking, it just perfectly, you can know it's 2011 and it's a Brooklyn.
You were like the first people to do that in 2011.
We were, Tiffany likes to say that the shit that is now considered basic wedding is a lot of stuff we did.
Yeah.
But she was one of the early, we did.
She was your early adopter.
Carnival lighting, mason jars, you know, cowboy boots, chalkboards, hay bales, pumpkins. We did a full, we got married at a farm. We got married on a farm in Queens. But now that shit's all like, I'm realizing also that I have company over and I have underwear visibly sticking out of my drawer. And this is how I take care of it. If you're wondering if
he's
I'm
just sticking his hand. He's just like,
I'm not reorganizing. I'm just realizing.
Is this all underwear? Is this a whole dresser just full of underwear?
You don't know what I got going on downstairs. I'm constantly leaking.
That, if this was a whole, it's like a big dresser.
This is a huge wad of underwear in
here. There's a lot of underwear. That's like four times as much underwear as I own.
Oh, yeah. I have way more underwear than most people just because I go through it so much. But specifically, now I'm just showing.
Do you have a really, like a brand you really love?
Yeah, I do. And funny you should mention that. Mack Weldon underwear.
I was going to say, was it Mack Weldon? Yeah.
Truly, I am obsessed with their underwear. And I'm showing a married woman all my underwear.
It's okay. I see it in my own home all the time. It's all right.
I got to come pick up my underwear. Sorry, I left it at your house.
All your underwear is in my house. Yeah.
Oh, professional podcast host just smashed my elbow on my own.
He just hit his funny bone so hard.
Oh, shit. My whole arm is tingling.
Oh, I wish you guys could have seen it.
Yeah, I wish you guys could. That really hurt. Mack Weldon really promo code Mighty, 20% off your order. Get it. I'm not even supposed to do an ad for them this week, but I just figured I'm demonstrating my undies. I might as well shout it out.
I just set it up and led you right there. So maybe I should also get a cut. I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's talk, Mac.
I'll give you a portion of the hundreds of dollars I make a year on podcast advertising. It's all yours, baby. What are some major do's or things you hate about shitty weddings or love about good weddings?
A good wedding is a wedding where the couple, first of all, where you feel like the couple really love each other and you're like actually excited to see them get married, which I actually am
80% surprisingly.
I'd say like 95% of the weddings I've been to, I'm like, this is good. There's been a couple and they're all like, anyway. So
I've been to a few weddings where one side or the other or both, I was just kind of like,
there's
Yeesh.
Just like a tension in
the air. This is how you are today.
Yeah. like everyone's like tense and there's just some, that you can, pick up. If there's like tension between families, I feel like everyone can really pick up on that.
Yeah.
But I feel like most I've been to that have not been the case. But it's just, those weddings where they've thought about their guests. And like, look, also though, if you're planning a wedding, you can do everything right and someone's going to complain about something. So you also at some point have to like, let that go a little, like someone's gonna find something to complain about no matter what you do, no matter how much you bend over backwards. But I think,
and there's also stuff just completely out of your control.
Yes, of course.
Our buses got stuck in traffic leaving on the BQE, and it took us an hour and 45 minutes to get home from the wedding at like midnight.
Right,
people are tired, they're tired, there's no booze on the,
but what are you gonna do? It's traffic.
People are always like, oh, that sucked. I'm like, I'm sorry, I fucking threw you a free party before.
But I mean, like, have an open bar, have good music, have good food. I think that's it. I think that's like really all you need. Like, make it fun.
But those three things will be a fun wedding. Yes. If the food is good, got to be decent or at least fun.
Decent. Yeah.
The music has to be a thing.
Yes.
You have to care about the music. Yes. It doesn't matter if it's band or DJ, but if the music is good. And like, Tiffany had this long list of shit that was not allowed to be played at the wedding.
Yeah.
And we told our DJ, Justin Purnell, is like, don't let anyone tell you to play these songs. And we sure enough, we were like, my mom or Tiff's mom will come up to you and ask you to play We Are Family or like Twist and, you know, Tiffany likes Twist and Shout, so that one's allowed. But like, We Are Family, all these like stupid, Tiff's like, no, it's dance music. It's our kind of music if it means something to us, or it's for dancing.
Right.
So in 2011, heavy Gaga, heavy Katy Perry. It's very danceable no matter what.
Yes,
pop
it
music
is.
Works.
Yeah. Everyone likes it. And we played some Motown too, which
Motown's
I think people
danceable.
Like,
yeah. Michael Jackson, danceable.
Or like, it was sunset. So our photographer was like, do you want to go outside and take some pictures of the sunset? We're like, because as soon as we got outside to do that, the Motown, like, there was like a Motown compilation that they did at our request, and we missed it because we were taking photos, which were like, we're paying for both of these things.
Did you guys do a first dance?
We did do a first dance.
Yeah. Some of the, I mean, a lot of the traditional stuff is fun.
Yeah. I liked that it, you know, they made it like not super long because it's, you know, after like 1 minute, that's plenty long, but actually our like bridal party kind of spontaneously just like swarmed us on the dance floor and formed this like circle around us, and it was like this really nice moment.
That's
I really
what
loved
happened
that.
At ours. Yeah. We intended, we planned it. We told them to come up.
Don's sister just was like, "Yeah, let's go," and it was like a very happy. It made me very happy.
Don's sister Donita.
Yeah, Donita. No, her name is Lauren.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrifying.
When Don and I started dating, his mom was like, "Don, Donna." Don, Lauren, and Lawrence meant to be.
It's so easy.
Yeah, and I was like, I fit right in, I guess. Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty fun.
Yeah.
What song did you guys dance to?
It's Thank You Too by My Morning Jacket.
Oh, hipster.
Which is kind of a hipstery one. It's a song, I don't know, it's always been our song, and that's a band that Don introduced me to. I didn't know them beforehand.
I love My Morning Jacket. It's really fun.
I think it was on like a mix he made me when we first started dating, and
that's
it's just
so cute.
You know,
our song was Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros, Home.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Of course. Again, also a hipster song. We're getting married in Brooklyn in cowboy boots.
Of course.
Dancing around to like fucking hipster folk.
That's what I walked down that aisle to.
That's what you walked down the aisle to?
Yeah.
Tiffany walked down the aisle to Temper Trap. I forget what the end or what's her name? Not St. Vincent, but another female recording artist who's got a crazy ass voice and a crazy ass name. Not St. Vincent. It'll come to me later. I fucked up.
You really fucked it up.
But we left our processional out was to Let's Hear It for the Boy.
I love it.
I was so excited to do that. I was like, yeah.
Oh, I love that. I'm trying to think of other do's and don'ts.
Yes. Yeah,
I kind of
free booze. People are
you gotta do free booze.
If people and also
no cash bar, just pony up.
Don't put anyone in a position to drive or Uber or call. Like either set up that Uber is easy.
Yes.
Set up a hotel shuttle. Say like, look, I know we're away, but if you're staying at the hotel, I got you.
Yeah.
If you're not staying at the hotel, you can. Well,
we got like a school bus, just because honestly,
a school bus is
so much cheaper than like one of the fancy ones. Sorry, you're on it for 10 minutes. We were like, they'll live.
We ended up being on a school bus for an hour and 45 minutes. But we had two school buses taking us to and from Brooklyn.
Yeah, like you got to provide, you just have to, you have to just like take care of your guests and make sure they like know where to go and know where to be. And then when they're there, that they can have fun.
And
some people are not going to have fun because they're assholes.
That's who they are.
And
they suck. Like, and if you can, ceremony and reception at the same venue.
Yeah, that's what. Yes, ideally.
Maybe a scenic change in that we go from this little dockside thing to into the bar.
I've been to plenty where it's, you know, they get married in a church or something, but then there's just shuttles to take you right to the thing, and that's like whatever.
That's
who cares?
That's so easy. That's exactly.
That's
the
two-hour
gap in between where you're like,
you
go back to a hotel.
Well, you guys can go fuck yourselves for 2 hours and then
go
we'll
get
see
up,
you
go
the
to
wedding.
Applebee's in a suit and have a fucking cocktail.
Right, you're all dressed up.
You start to feel like you're at a funeral at that point.
Yeah,
because
women are wearing heels then, so that means I'm going to be in heels from noon to midnight. Like, are you out of your mind? What am I supposed to do now?
What am I supposed to
do? Literally, what do you think we're doing now, or you don't care?
Yeah, they don't. And that's the problem, is that you have to keep everybody else in mind. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, dance. And then
clearly I have an opinion on this. But just like
A cool thing I've seen at some weddings that we didn't exactly do, we sort of did a bastardized version of it, was ending with some snacks.
Yes.
That you don't realize, like, because that's what you want in once, and I think that's
hungry, yeah.
Once you're in your 20s and just getting wasted, you're like, I'm going to eat again tonight.
Yeah. You're like, I've been drinking all night. It's time for round two. We've been to, like,
at like Brian Foss's wedding, like a pizza truck pulled up towards the end.
That's
and
a nice
cranking
touch.
Out like a fresh pizza for everyone.
That's
it was
a
awesome.
Nice
touch. Yeah,
we had some food waiting at the hotel, like in the lobby where we did a little party. But there was another wedding also doing that, and they had done the same, and it really wasn't clear like whose food was what. So everyone was just kind of hanging. But like none of that wedding, like no one showed up. So it was basically just our people, and I think literally like five people from this other wedding,
and
then we just ate all their food. You know, they had way more food than we paid for. So we just kind of like, people were just like grabbing food from wherever, and
that's
it was almost entirely just our friends. It was great.
Yeah, like, Sean. Sorry, at Sean Clements' wedding, we got some caramel corn on the way out. Yep. It's like that, even like the little something like
just
that. It's
little,
like, oh, jump in the Uber and
nosh.
Get a little, a little nosh.
Yeah, a little nosh at the end of the night.
Before I go home and order Taco Bell on Postmates.
Yeah. I've been to some, I mean, East Coast weddings are, especially like Italian weddings, which mine basically was.
Which is, yeah.
Like I wanted to do buffet because it's cheaper and then people can just get what they want after this big cocktail hour where everyone's full. Don was like, No,
it's got to be
no buffet.
Courses,
we don't do buffet in this family. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, we have this big cocktail hour. There's a ton of food, and then people sit down for a 3-course meal. It's too much. It's too much food. Like we knew we were giving people too much food. My like Texan cousin, when cocktail hour ends and everyone goes into like sit down for dinner, like came up to me with like the most horrifying. He's like a big guy, and was like, I thought that was dinner. There's more. Oh. I was like, yeah, man. There's 3 courses
that's
coming. And
Italian
he was like,
weddings.
What?
My college roommate, like, yeah. Salvatore Barone, had the most insane, like a guy was rolling fresh mutts like at cocktail hour, and there was so much food. They came down like the staircase with sparklers and like that. We went to me and Tiff went to a wedding where the bride and groom came up from the ground.
Oh,
dude,
my God.
For real.
Wait, I went to a wedding like that in Long Island. It was a Jewish wedding where the they like have this white curtain dropped before she walks down the aisle and then backlight it so she's silhouetted, and then the like curtain rises so there can just be this like moment
reveal?
Like
that's
a reveal
pretty awesome,
moment
though.
And then so this temple had the venue was attached to it, like this, it was the temple had like the sickest wedding venue attached to it.
There's some
to
positive
it.
Stereotyping of Jews I could do right there where it's like they're
like
smart
but they just did like this was just what
smart
it was.
Business
yeah.
That's a moneymaker, and also
convenient.
Jews know how to throw parties. All Jewish wedding is they're like the ceremony is 11 minutes long.
It was pretty short.
Yeah, and I Adam Pally's wedding when I was 24, he got married.
I think
young.
I married young. Yeah,
yeah. He was my first friend to get married that wasn't a college roommate.
Yeah,
so it was my first Jewish wedding because I went to a Catholic college. And I was like, oh, this is going to be so weird. Oh, man, I'm going to sit through a whole mass. And then you're like, oh, it's not even at a temple. It's at this weird. And then all of a sudden we're done.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? They're like, they broke the fucking glass. Yeah. It's real quick. And I said to Adam that day, I'm like, dude, Catholic ceremonies are like 5 times as long. He's like, Jews want to eat and party.
Yes.
I was like, dude,
this
I didn't
great.
Know that.
Like the cocktail hour at this place, which again was attached to was part of the temple, had a wood burning pizza oven built in, had a wine, like a wine cellar room. They had food from every nation. So they had like a Russian caviar station with a vodka luge. They had full sushi bar with like guys making sushi. They had burgers.
Oh, that's
like,
awesome.
In the wine room, there was like some Italian antipasti, people walking around with like little pierogies and tiny little miniature mugs of beer.
Oh.
And like kielbasas and stuff like that.
Oh.
It was like every that and that again was just cocktail hour. I mean, it was more
cocktail
food.
Hour is the fucking best.
It's the best.
Yeah.
And then you sit down and it's like an extravagant, like a billion course meal.
Right.
And the same thing with like when they brought desserts out, like they had waiters carrying trays with sparklers, like walking around the dance floor with like, it was like ho-hos and ding-dongs like cut in half, which I was like, this is,
that's
what I want. It's like a Twinkie right now. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's the dream.
And then there's an after party also in the same place with just like a full buffet spread of like chicken fingers. And I mean, it was like enough food to actually feed Like, we could have saved Houston after a hurricane, but instead our fat asses just ate it.
Smart move, though.
I think so. This was also way before that hurricane.
We had no idea about Harvey.
If we had known, we would have saved all of
no
it.
No one knew about Harvey, or else we would have saved some
chicken
fingers.
We would have for sure just frozen everything. But
ship the fingers.
Yeah.
Ship all the tenders.
But like, my jaw was just like on the ground. And we've been to a lot of over-the-top weddings, but that one we were like, damn, respect.
Yeah. I haven't been to a super wealthy person's wedding in a long time. You know what I mean? Like, I went to like my friend's parents were obviously wealthy, and I don't know that until I go to the wedding.
Right. You're like, okay.
Yeah. That would be like Pally's wedding was on the Chelsea Piers.
Yeah. You're like, okay.
Like a huge venue where I'm like, are we overlooking New York City at your wedding? It's fucking awesome. And then, but I want to go to like, you know, I want one of my like late state, like a second wedding of a real rich friend. I want
like
to see what
Malibu.
A rich person. Yeah. Some rich. Now that I live in LA and you know what like real money looks like, you're like, I want to see what the fuck. I want to get invited to something opulent and stupid.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Weddings are great. Planning them sucks. But just if you're
going to
do
great
it,
to,
have
if you go
fun.
2 a year, they're great.
Yeah.
If you get invited to more than 2 a year, it starts to really put a dent in your vacation planning.
It is.
And your financial planning.
It's all your money.
It's great.
It is.
Both Tiff's brothers got married last year. So it was, you know, that's four. Two round trip flights each to New York. So that's four round trip flights.
Yeah.
Four nights in a hotel.
Yep.
Two tuxedo rentals.
Yep. You got to get them a gift.
You got to get dressed. We got to get a gift. Yep. They're her brothers. I'm
so
doing the ceremony at one. I'm working at one.
Yeah.
We fucking like went into like the red, whatever one's the bad one. We went into the red to fucking go to two weddings.
Yeah.
And it was like, we want to do this, but Jesus Christ, guys.
Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have, I think we have, we went to none last year.
Is it?
It was the first time, it almost felt eerie. Like, it felt like we were, like, something was off. Because
I don't want
none.
Anyone who is inviting me to a wedding to feel bad if they're listening. But, like, I'm like, when you look at your calendar and you're like, we don't have a wedding for, like, 9 months. It's like, so it feels good.
Although I did, and then I kind of was like, I kind of want to go to, I was like, yeah, I like weddings. Like,
yeah,
I do
you
like
go, all of a sudden you're like, I miss big parties where I see friends.
Yeah, like, it's especially with like college friends, it's always like a reunion, and it's you know, you
but
see
now
people
are all your college, like all my college friends are married.
Yeah, I think most of them are. I like, think we're most of them are down, so it's either there's a few people that we're holding out for, but it's kind of done.
Yeah, I'm pretty, and like both of Tiff's brothers are married. Yeah. One of my brothers is married. One is not close.
Yeah.
I don't think my mom's getting remarried. Tiff's aunt might be getting having her second wedding, but we don't have any like other real weddings on the horizon.
Yeah, we have now. I think we're gonna have four this fall. That's all like short engagements that like engagements that recently happened. They're all like doing it like between August and November, but it's all people that we're really close to and love. So we're like, yeah, we're gonna go, and it's gonna be super fun.
I love a good. Now that I live in LA, I love these LA weddings that people
I know.
Are having.
Well, it's one's like in LA. The rest are. I mean, they're all over the place. But we're kind of like, well, you know, we didn't go to any last year.
Yeah.
Let's go.
If you could
let's
have budget
it.
Two a year, now you went to zero one year and go to four the next year.
Then there we go.
Yeah.
But we had 1 year where I think we went to 10 in 1 year.
We had it one where we went to a bunch and still skipped some.
Yeah.
We felt bad. We had to miss a couple of close friends' weddings that occurred like shortly after we moved out here.
Yeah.
Because we were like,
we can't just turn around and go
back.
We
can't turn around. Yeah. We blew so much money to get out here. And we're coming home for Christmas.
Yeah.
We're going to have to skip these two. We didn't RSVP yes and then back out or anything like that. Which, by the way, if you're listening to this podcast and you are not planning a wedding but going to one, say no right away if you're not going.
Yeah.
Do not string people along.
Oh, my God. People, every no we got, we were like, oh, no. Yay.
Yeah.
Because we over-invited. We invited more people than the venue could hold, counting on people to say no.
Right.
I'll also never be offended when I'm not invited to a wedding again.
I have said to anyone, I'm like, do not feel the need
feel
to invite
bad.
Me to your wedding.
Yeah.
I would love
I'll
to come.
I'll be there and it's going to be so much fun. I truly love going to weddings.
And but if you
unless
don't
your
want,
wedding sucks.
If you need one less person, let it be me. I understand we'll the importance of not.
But stringing people along is rude because they have to give a headcount to the venue and they're dropping a lot of effing money.
And you're talking about hundreds to $200 a person.
And people talk. This didn't happen at my wedding because I would truly like never speak to them again. But people are like, no shows. Like people who RSVP yes and don't show up to your wedding is a thing. And I was like, What?
Yeah, like my uncle
you
and my
can't do that's so much money that the couple
that's
has
so
spent on
fucked
you.
Up.
You better spend. You better send like the nicest gift in the world if you do that.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's fucking bullshit.
That is, and I think that's a thing that people do.
It's fucked up.
I mean, we had to like follow up with people and be like, hey, are you coming to the wedding or not? And they're like, sorry, yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. I'm like, you have to just tell people.
Yeah, you
it's okay. No one's going to be mad that you can't go.
Yeah, you just have to tell me that you can't come because I need to know.
It's like planning a birthday party where you're buying everyone rugby tickets.
Right, exactly.
It's like, guys, you can't back out now because I put the money on my credit card.
I paid for the ticket, now you're fucking me over and it's my birthday.
You're welcome to bail,
yeah,
but you still need to Venmo me $100. Yeah, like, yeah, stay home. That's fine, but I can't pay for
I don't care if you're
and
not there.
Works on like a scale of like times two or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Where we're like, okay, well, we already paid for you, so we are now out of that money, and now we're out of a friend because fuck you forever.
Yeah. You ever again. One last piece of great wedding advice I got from an old boss, Michael Davies, told me to tell Tiffany, and this is for brides and going back to what we're talking about, or grooms, whoever's doing a lot of the planning. At some point, you must transition from planner to participant.
Yes, absolutely. Remember, you have to have fun at your wedding.
Right. You have to have fun. You have to at some point go like, well, there's literally nothing else I can do for this reception except drink and hang out.
Right. If you like, what a tragedy to spend all that time planning the wedding and then not enjoying it because you're worried about like the flowers or something like, inconsequent.
Running around judging everything. Yeah. Like judging, whatever I'm saying.
But like when you wake up that morning, like, you have to be like, well, whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
And if I need to call and demand the florist give me a refund because I fucked something up, then do that, you know, tomorrow or whatever. Like,
agreed.
Just enjoy it. Like, be excited. Like, remember, you're marrying someone. You're in love.
Right. You're here.
Theoretically, you're in love.
This is not about the party as much as it's about the two of you.
Remember that it's about that. And like, and it's also about your family and your friends and like being surrounded by people you love. It's such a great thing.
So that's my big one. And your big one is the honeymoon after, which
honeymoon
I think is
after.
Very true. I understand some people have scheduling issues and they want it. But even
do
if you
do a mini moon, do something.
I was just about to say, even if you think, oh, we're going to all go to South Africa over the holiday. We guys, the big trip. It's like, go away the 2 days after your wedding to nearby.
Even if it's like, get a hotel in the town where you live. Like, do something. Don't just go home.
Stay away from your family.
Yeah, get away from your family and friends. Like, go be alone somewhere.
Yeah.
That isn't just home.
We
I
left
feel
Monday
like
for Cancun. We got married on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Sunday, we had people coming over at like 1 p.m. for bagels and to hang. And like, whoever was like out of towners and locals to just hang out for like a couple hours at our apartment. And the time we woke up, I woke up maybe at like 10 a.m. the day after my wedding. And for the 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., where it's just us lying in bed being newly married, opening up cards with like checks and cash.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is
great.
So I like to say the wedding is best day of my life.
Yeah.
But a close second is the day after.
Yeah, day after. You're like, it's done.
And the highlight of the day after is there's no more wedding.
There's no
it's
more
also,
wedding.
I see how people get postpartum.
Sure.
Or post-mortem.
Or like,
it's one of those.
I think it's postpartum. Post-wedding, like, depression. Yeah.
Right, because you don't have this big thing in your life that's planning, you're doing all this.
I have a whole chapter about that in my book.
Oh.
Where I'm poking fun at, like, the post-wedding, where I'm like, your life is over, and now it's just, like, your life has peaked, and it's just a slow trudge
towards.
Time
to have a child to project everything on them.
Exactly. Have a child, start a blog, and then when you're in your 50s, you'll be on a reality
you
show.
You plan
and
her wedding.
And you can start that, you can keep it going. That's basically
really
the life plan. But yeah, it is. I felt no sadness after the wedding. I was just happy that it was fun and it went well. And
that open. I was so happy to not have that hanging over my head.
Yeah, and that it's a job.
And it was
that you don't
one of the
anymore.
Best days of my life, hands down.
Yeah,
and I am so happy I don't have to
do it
think
again.
About it anymore.
Yeah, and I'm so glad it's behind me. Yeah.
Oh, Wilcox, thank you so
much
for
having
coming
me.
On.
I hope no one whose wedding I bashed listens to this.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
I just that one friend who, she's not listening.
Yeah, she's not
listening.
I think two of the friends I should talk to, they aren't like around anymore.
No.
I've killed them.
Yeah, they're dead. Yeah.
I've put them out.
Yeah.
So this is where we do a little bit of plugs. So what are you at on Twitter if people want to shout at us about how we were wrong?
I'm at Laura_Wilcox.
Ooh.
And there's two L's in Wilcox.
Two L's in Wilcox.
Little known fact. Everyone spells it with one L. Mine has two.
I like that.
The woman with my email address with one L gets so many of my emails. And she also has that Twitter handle with one L and Instagram handle with one L. So she's a nice lady who lives in Orlando. I believe she got married.
She gets
too.
A lot of followers. Yeah. Yeah, there's like, I know like three Allison Rosens. Yeah. You know, and yeah, I'm like, like very good friends with one. Yeah. And then there's like two other ones. And I'm like,
Which are you?
Am I liking the right photo on Instagram? This doesn't look like my friend.
I don't know you.
And the name of the book is I Am Bride.
It's I Am Bride. You can buy it on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, basically anywhere books are sold. It's a great gift to give someone getting married.
Yeah, it's maybe a little bit of a tension cutter for like a bride that's getting stressed.
I think it's the perfect gift for someone who, you know, is going through the stress of weddings or the stress of going to too many weddings and you just want to laugh at it. I don't know.
Watch the Jim Jefferies show.
Watch
when
the
it comes
Jim
on.
Jefferies show. Season 2 starts March 27th, I believe.
Get pumped. Yeah, this should be coming out next week. So
pumped.
Get pumped for
get,
the
like,
Jefferies.
Pumped for that, I guess.
Where some of the most insightful thoughts on American politics comes from like an Australian drunk old guy.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
It's true. And he's been doing it for
a long time. Yeah.
He's been killing it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. As always, I'm at John Gabrus on Twitter. Tweet at me. Listen to my other podcast, Action Boys, on Patreon or Raised by TV on Earwolf, also on iTunes or however you do it. And that's about it. Goodbye, shitheads.
Goodbye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.